in this week's Torah portion, even though it's a really short one, my wife even said, is there a double portion this week? You know, the entire Torah portion was only 40 verses. Sometimes, a lot of times, it's three times, four times that many. So a very short reading toward the end of Deuteronomy. But Moses says some very challenging things in these final chapters of Deuteronomy. Remember, Deuteronomy is a speech or a series of speeches, sermons, if you will, that Moses gives right at the end of his life. In fact, within about a month after he gives this speech, according to the timing, Moses will have died, and the people will be crossing the Jordan River into the land under the successor of Moses. Deuteronomy could be really seen as his farewell address, summing up what the people needed to remember. And in one case, he actually says something very sad in these Torah portions. He says to the people, be sure to guard, to safeguard, to observe, to follow the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul. Be sure to hold on to the Most High. And then in somewhat in the same breath, he says, but I know that you'll have a struggle doing that. Last week, we addressed some of the way that Rabbi Paul answered that question from Moses. How did the Rabbi Paul express and encourage the people in that answer of holding on to Messiah, holding on to that journey following and holding close to the Most High? Moses tells the people, I know, in fact, that you will go into exile. I know that you will experience a separation. I know that you'll be cut off. You're going to go into this land, but there will be the time when you are driven from the land because of your disobedience. Moses says, I know that you'll struggle with remaining faithful to God. But at the same time, Moses says, God will cause you to return. You will be cut off. But if you're cut off, you can know that there will be restoration. There will be return. There will be renewal for the people of God. And in chapter 30 of Deuteronomy, it says, so when all these things come on you, these blessings and these curses for disobedience, which I've set before you, and you remember them in the nations, the places where the Lord has scattered you, you will return to the Lord your God and obey Him with all your heart and all your soul. Then the Lord will restore your captivity and have compassion on you and will gather you. Will gather you back from all those nations where you have gone. And the Lord your God will bring you back to the land that your fathers possessed. And you will possess the land, and He will prosper you and multiply you. And then verse 6. Moreover, the Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your descendants to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, so that you will live. So that you will live. It's very interesting that this theme of exile and return plays a dramatic role in the story of the Bible. We see it even with Abraham. Once Abraham is in the land, he leaves the land and then comes back. Under Joseph, the descendants of Abraham leave the land and go to Egypt. And part of the Exodus story is literally a return from exile. It happens again centuries later when, because of sin, our people was banished to Babylon. And there in exile spent about two generations until God brought them back. Even the New Covenant scriptures, Matthew, begins with the story of exile and return by counting the generations leading up, the genealogy leading up to Messiah. The theme is you went into exile, but now you have returned. And in fact, we're told that the purpose for Messiah in Luke chapter 2, when Messiah's birth is promised, is that he would restore his people, that he would bring, literally, the idea there is resurrection. There would be resurrection for God's people. You have been cut off, but you will be renewed. That is really the comfort that for the past 7 weeks, each of our Torah portions have been giving us there in Isaiah, the Haftorah readings from the prophets. Comfort, comfort my people, says the Lord, Isaiah chapter 40. You have paid double for all your sins. God is going to build a highway. He's going to raise the valley. The mountains will be brought down. There will be a highway built through the wilderness for you to meet your God. A voice calling it, in the wilderness, prepare a way for the Lord. You feel like you've been cut off, but there will be the return. Seven weeks ago was the holiday, a minor holiday called Tish B'Av. And it celebrates not the right word. It commemorates, it observes the destruction of the temple. In fact, both Jewish temples were destroyed at the exact same time of year, late summer. And the Book of Lamentations describe this time period. The reading for that holiday... Oh, todah. The reading for that holiday is the Book of Lamentations. In chapter 3 of that book, it says, my eyes pour down unceasingly, without stopping, until the Lord looks down and sees from heaven. My eyes bring pain to my soul because of the daughters of my city, the people and what has happened to the people due to the exile and the separation that has happened. My enemies hunt me without cause. They track me down like a bird. They have silenced me in the pit. They have placed a stone on me. Water flowed over my head. And I said, I am cut off. I am cut off. All my hope is gone. As we look and we see what happens in the experience of exile from the Lord, I am cut off. I have been banished. It goes on to say, I called on your name, O Lord, out of the lowest pit. You heard my voice. Don't hide your ear and my cry for help. You drew near when I called to you, and you said, don't be afraid. O Lord, you have redeemed my life. Redemption as a consequence or the result of being cut off. What is God's desire? God's desire is restoration and redemption. There's a similar story that I want to highlight. It's in Ezekiel 37. It reads very differently, but that same expression about being cut off is there. It's about the Valley of Dry Bones. Rabbi Adler did a great job teaching this passage here for our congregation about a year ago. The bones have been brought, the dry dead bones laying in this valley have been brought together, but there's no breath, there's no life, there's no living. And in verse 11, it says, God says, these bones are the whole house of Israel. And they are saying, our bones are dried up. Our hope is gone. We are cut off. Do you know what it's like to be cut off? Let me tell you a story, and it's kind of corny, but as I thought about examples, here's little scissors. Anybody need a haircut? Well, that's my story. I actually did that one time to my sister. She's a couple years younger than I. And I thought, I was probably 7, maybe. I don't know. 8. I don't know exactly. I thought, you know, Dad just puts us in a chair and, you know, snip, 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 you know, cuts our bangs. You know, those lovely dad haircuts. I guess my sister, they were saying my sister needed a haircut. And so I thought, well, I can cut in a straight line. So I can do that. So somehow, probably just because my sister, you know, loved me or something, I convinced her to, okay, let's go to the kitchen. And I told her, I can cut your hair. So I did. You'd have to ask my mom for what their response was. I don't remember. My sister claims that her hair was never that long and beautiful again. You know, snip, snip, snip. Just like my sister's, you know, lovely, you know, 5-6-year-old hair was evidently cut away. Sometimes we can find the beauty in our life cut away. By the way, just like there was good news in that Lamentations passage, there's actually good news here in this Ezekiel passage as well. It goes on to say that God would open the graves and cause them to come up, and that he would bring them into their land, and that they would know the Lord. And verse 14, I will put my spirit within you, and you will come to life. You will come to life. What was it? Do you remember the passage again that we read a few minutes ago from Deuteronomy? That God would circumcise, think cut. God would cut the heart of the people, and so that they would know him, and so that they would follow with all their heart and with all their soul, and so that they could have life. That same Torah portion concludes by saying, so there's the great choice. You can have life and goodness, or you can have death and adversity. There's the great choice. What will you choose? And Moses tells them, choose life. He answers the rhetorical question on which they should choose. Choose life. Choose life. It's interesting that out of this we learn that all of us go through an exile. All of us have been exiled from God. All of us have wandered away. All of us have been separated from that life and goodness that Moses promised that is available from God. All of us have been cut off. It's interesting, though, that Rabbi Paul in Romans chapter 6 says that we have become connected with Messiah in his death. We have been connected with Messiah in his death. And verse 6, knowing this, that our old self, last week we defined what Paul meant when he talked about our self, not our body, but our evil inclination, our desire to wander away, that lifestyle of being cut off. Paul says, our old self was cut off with him, was crucified with him, in order that this sin inclination could be done away with, and that we would no longer be slaves to sin. So catch what Paul's saying here. He's saying, just as Messiah died, we have had the opportunity to die with him. Messiah was cut off from the land of the living. Isaiah 53 says that he was cut off because of our sins. Isaiah 53, he was cut off. And Paul's saying, you know what? We've been cut off with him. We've experienced an exile. We've experienced a banishment. But that being cut off is so that we don't have to be slaves to sin anymore. God uses that banishment, this exile in our lives, to restore us to himself. In some ways, Scripture speaks of exile as a discipline, as a punishment. It's very interesting, though, that it also speaks of exile as the path back to God. For us to be renewed. There's a Jewish story that some of the rabbis who were standing near the Temple Mount in Jerusalem, maybe standing, Clay, there where we stood on Har Zeitim, the Mount of Olives, a few months ago, and looked at the temple and saw it in ruins. We're told that the Romans leveled it. And a couple of the rabbis were lamenting and mourning, but one of them actually sighed and almost laughed. And it was like, how can you be joyful? And the response was, having seen the destruction, I know that the restoration will come. I know that the restoration will come. If we have been cut off with Messiah, then you are no longer slaves to sin. Verse 11 of that same chapter, Romans 6, says, in fact, we should consider ourselves dead to sin, but alive to God through Messiah. You should think of yourself as being cut off, dead, but alive to Messiah, alive to God through Messiah. It's interesting, this week, I thought of something in a way that I'd never quite thought of it before. Actually, we're not told that Messiah came to make us good people. Do you hear that? People say, oh, that's a good family. Or that's a good person. Well, the goal in life is just to be good, to do good. But as I thought about it, it dawned on me that we're not told that Messiah came to make us good. What we are told is that Messiah came to make us live. Messiah came to make you alive, not just good. To give life. So the message really is this. You have been and you will, if you haven't yet, you will experience this cutting off. In fact, it's where we've all been. For all have sinned and come short of God's glory. But having experienced that being cut off, the purpose is so that there can be life, so that there will be restoration, so that there will be renewal. And with that, I want to give you one more puzzle piece. from John 15, which, by the way, is one of the passages for our reading this week. John 15 says, this is Messiah speaking, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. My Father is the gardener. By the way, think of that as you're out harvesting your, some of you have gardens, I know. When you're out harvesting your tomatoes in the next couple weeks, think of it, you're tending a garden with God. God's a gardener, and so you're a gardener with God. That was extra for free. Verse 2, every branch that does not bear fruit, he takes away. How is it taken away? It's very right. Yes, sir. It's cut off. Cut. Like my sister's hair. Every branch that does not bear fruit is cut off, experiences exile, banishment. But keep reading the same verse. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it can bear more fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes. How do you prune something? You cut it. What happens to branches that don't bear fruit? They're cut. What happens to branches that do bear fruit? They're cut. What happens to everybody? They're cut. That struck me really hard one time. Yeshua is saying, in either case, you get cut on. If you don't bear fruit, well, the consequence is worse if you don't bear fruit and you get cut. But in either case, our life is going to experience that, in this case, we call it discipline. But again, it's that experience of being cut in our life. But I love, again, what Rav Shaul said. If you are cut off with Messiah in his death, you will partake of his life. There will be cutting. There will be some cutting involved. Messiah, or Moses told us in this week's Torah portion, God himself will circumcise your heart. He will cut away those things in your heart. Yeshua called it pruning. There will be cutting of your heart. There will be pruning in your life. But the goal is so that you will live, so that he can bring redemption, so that, as we saw in the Ezekiel 37 passage, when someone feels cut off, it is so that God can give his life, so that he can give his spirit, so that he can blow his life into them. You have been cut off, and there will probably be even more cutting that happens in my life and your life as we experience that. But the purpose is so that we, Romans 6, we don't have to be slaves to sin any longer. We can consider ourselves dead, cut off to that, our hearts circumcised, so that we can be alive to God. Messiah didn't come just to make you good. He came to make you alive. I pray that the exile, the banishment, the cutting off that happens will serve as the exile that brings us back. Moses said, I know you'll go into exile, but God will bring you back and will cut off those parts of your heart so that you can live, so that you can follow God. We will also be pruned in our life. It's cutting too, but it's for life, and it's to find that life through Messiah Yeshua.